Sunday Tama Talk.
Good morning and happy day all. We bring you another Sunday morning Tama Talk with Dr. Pratrajyan Wisit, revered abbot of Wat Lungpaso Thammakayaram in Dumnun Sarawak District, Ratpuri Province, Thailand. I'm your interviewer, Prakrubaitika Dr. Barton Yanatiro from the United States. Venerable Dr. Pratrajyan Wisit is one of Thailand's most renowned meditation masters and Buddhist scholars, dedicated to revitalizing Buddhism with equal emphasis on scripture study and meditation practice. He has led Wat Lungpaso to become a center of excellence in both, and now serves as national coordinator of provincial meditation centers throughout Thailand. Welcome, Reverend Dr. Pratrajyan Wisit. This is our 16th Sunday Tama Talk. We've just completed a series of three broadcasts on avoiding evil and doing good, which reviewed the five precepts in detail. Today we turn to how to develop and maintain the good intentions which must underlie and motivate good behavior. But first, could you please begin by reviewing briefly what we covered last time?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome back. Last time we completed our study of the five precepts, which are designed to avoid the five most common reasons for rebirth into suffering worlds. We examined wrongful sexual activity, improper speech, and addiction to intoxicants. Wrongful sexual activity stems from failure to restrain sexual feelings aroused when the sense organs are excited by provocative stimuli. The uncontrolled mind becomes dominated by lust and sexual passion. Adultery leads to serious personal, family, and social problems, ranging from encounters with criminal elements and quarrels with the spouse to broken homes, and violent physical attacks based on jealousy. Within the family, children suffer psychological problems and may grow up as disobedient delinquents, following their parents' example. Other children may even be born out of wedlock. This is very much what we see in our present social reality. When dying, those who commit adultery are reborn either in hell or as hungry ghosts or in the animal world for a long time. After eventually returning to the human world, their remaining karma results in becoming a prostitute for up to 100 lifetimes. Afterwards, the person may also become a homosexual or sterile female for many lifetimes. Improper speech has four components. To avoid lying, such as deception, harsh language, such as shouting, divisive speech, such as tale-bearing, and useless speech, such as gossip. Lying, deceitfulness, dishonesty, and double-dealing bring about an unreliable reputation, lack of trust, and fewer good friends, colleagues, and loving partners. One misses out on promotions and remains in the lower class of society with dishonor. After death, liars are reborn in hell for a very long time. When eventually returning to the human world, they will have a very, very bad smelling mouth. Improper speech also includes spreading wrong teaching, mitcha vacha, which lead people astray, such as the doctrine that killing supporters of other religions will bring one close to God. This is a very serious offense which can cause rebirth in the lower Lokantara hell outside the universe. Addiction to intoxicants causes a rapid deterioration of both physical and mental health, and leads to catastrophic social consequences such as loss of employment, marital separation, divorce, and potentially homelessness. Such problems are passed on through the children, and government spends millions to alleviate the resultant social problems. In conclusion, overcoming lust, cheating, and intoxication requires heightened individual responsibility and constant mindfulness, which can be maintained through observance of Buddhist precepts and seeing for yourself in meditation.
Thank you, Venerable Sir. Now let us turn to today's question regarding intentions. What exactly is the problem?
The problem is unwholesome intentions, which arise naturally due to confusion of passion. The untrained mind is continually being misled by three root passions, greed, hatred, and delusion, which lead to excessive desire or craving, attachment or addiction, and unwholesome behavior such as indulgence and transgression. Attachment is the strong grasping feeling of self-possession that this is me or mine or myself. This attachment to perceived self and material objects is the essence of delusion, which leads to constant struggle throughout life and to rebirth over and over again. Greed is insatiable ravenous, selfish hunger, lust, and longing for things. It arises when any of the five sense organs contact an object considered desirable. The eye sees a beautiful sight. The ear hears a sweet sound. The nose smells a fragrant aroma. The tongue tastes a choice flavor, or the skin sends a tender touch. Unrestrained, this all lead to voracious obsession, lust, dependence, and addiction. Obtaining an object does not ease the struggle. The object becomes a burden, requiring constant attention. We must continually take good care of maintain and protect it. This applies to our loved ones and to our own physical body, as well as to big car or mansion on the hill that we cherish. Sooner or later, our partner and friends in life will pass away, and we will be left grieving. This is the real nature of all the compound phenomena which make up this world. They are impermanent, eventually cause for suffering, and without ultimate true essence. They arise, exist for a while, changing continually while in existence, and then disintegrate. This applies to our own body and personality, as well as external objects. Separation from loved ones and beloved objects is suffering, enforced association with detested persons and object is suffering. In short, attachment to the whole five aggregates of existence is suffering, and attachment to each aggregate separately, body, perception, memory, thought, or awareness, is also suffering. Realization of this truth does not mean that one should necessarily shun marriage and a loving family. Only that one must maintain the proper balance and the ability to continue on alone when one's partner dies. Avoid the sad plight of Jane, who was completely dependent on her husband. When he died, she had a stroke paralyzing half of her body and lived on for 12 years in a hospital bed, complaining continuously. The stronger the attachment, the more the suffering. One should have the right wisdom to recognize that death is a natural part of life and be able to keep the mind peaceful, releasing attachment to become less and less until it is manageable. The second passion, hatred, is just the opposite side of the coin labeled greed it is the abhorrence, loathing, detestation, and revulsion for all beings and things disliked. In mild form, it is just irritation, annoyance, frustration, or exasperation. In practice, ill will based on hatred can result in blood feuds, seeking recurrent revenge over successive lifetimes. Various forms of hatred and jealousy lead to evil intention, careless speech, and unwholesome actions. Evasion, escape, or flight based on dislike are the mirror image of attachment, leading just as surely to suffering when one is unavoidably united with someone or something detested. The passion of delusion is not knowing the right intention, speech, or action in a particular situation. This results in lack of mindfulness and careless behavior. It is based on ignorance. Ignorance is non-knowledge of the past, the present, and the future, and how they link. In other words, it is non-knowledge of the natural law of cause and effect. It results in non-knowledge of the proper action to take in the present situation in order to stay on the right path to a happy future. Specifically, untrained minds do not know where they are coming from. They cannot recollect former lifetimes. They do not know where they were born in the past, whether in the suffering or happy worlds. If they could meditate, they would see this and know right way, which is the right path. Similarly, untrained minds do not know their future. They do not know where they will be reborn when they die. They just believe according to what others say. If they could meditate, they could see for themselves and distinguish the right action for each situation. Ignorance also includes non-knowledge of where departed relatives have been reborn. This, too, can be achieved through meditation. Finally, ultimate ignorance is non-knowledge of Lord Buddha's major teachings, the Four Noble Truths, and dependent origination. This definitive truth can be penetrated to higher and higher levels of understanding through deeper and deeper levels of vipassana meditation.
What are the good intentions that one should develop and maintain?
The three core good intentions are the opposites of the three passions, greed, hatred, and delusion, which dominate the untrained mind. The good intentions are selfless generosity or dana, loving kindness, and compassion, or helping others to release from suffering, metta and karuna, and right thought or intention, samma sankappa. The opposite of greed is selfless generosity or dana, coming from the heart, aimed at helping to satisfy the real needs of others, even the expense of self-sacrifice. Specifically, appropriate generosity should aim at helping others to escape suffering. Dana falls naturally into three levels. First, giving material objects such as the four essential requirements for living, food, clothing, shelter, and medicine. Second, sharing Dhamma, the ultimate truth about the nature contained in Lord Buddha's teachings. And third, offering forgiveness, apayatana. This is the highest form of generosity. The first component of pure dana is right advanced intention that the other person should have a better life. Second, the one performing dana should remain feeling happy throughout the act of giving. Third, he or she should remain happy about the dana, even after the dana is completed. Pure dana, where the intention, donor, gift, and recipient are all pure, can bring karmic rewards which last for 100,000 lifetimes into the future. The opposites of hatred and ill will are loving kindness, friendliness or goodwill or metta, and compassion, karuna, which leads to helping others to find release from suffering. Metta means selfless, wishing for the other beings to achieve what they are looking for in accordance with their own desires. Metta leads to altruistic intentions and actions to help others achieve their goals. Among humans, this can be simply helping a friend or expressed through voluntary activities to help the needy. Metta for other beings can be expressed in such minor acts as lifting a worm from baking cement and placing it on soft earth. Compassion or karuna intends to help others find release from suffering, whether or not they recognize this as their fundamental problem. Thus, karuna aims to help others reduce external attachments to impermanent material objects and strengthen internal reliance on their own well-trained mind, which can become a reliable refuge. Right thoughts and intention, or sammasankappa, are to seek release from the causes and ultimately the root cause of suffering. Right intentions consist of three components. First, renunciation or nekhamma sankappa. Second, absence of hatred or ill will, appayabhata sankappa, which implies loving kindness. And third, non-violence or ahimsa sankappa, which means avoiding killing or harming all living beings. Renunciation to free oneself from selfish desires and attachments is the key element in right intentions. At a minimum, it is expressed in self-denial and distancing oneself from hedonistic sensuality. Ultimately, it can lead to giving up the world and ordaining as a recluse.
How should one go about developing and maintaining good intentions?
Right intentions are developed and maintained through continual mindfulness to control the passions and foster wholesome intentions, speech, and action. These are achieved through accumulation of 10 factors of perfection, or parami, which are generosity, or dana, morality, or sila, renunciation, or nekhamma, wisdom, insight, and understanding, or panya, energy and effort, or virya, tolerance, forbearance, and endurance, or khanti, truthfulness, or satya, resolution, or atithan, loving kindness, or metta, and finally, equanimity, or upekha, which means indifference to praise or blame. The first step is to practice generosity, or dana, in all three levels cited above. The second step is to accept and live by precepts, either 5 or 8 precepts for lay people, in accordance with one's ability. Then, one must live the precepts in daily life, with continual alert mindfulness, always asking oneself, am I doing the right thing? Am I saying the right thing? Am I thinking the right thing? Do I have the right intentions? Vipassana meditation also helps by leading one to the right wisdom to really penetrate to knowing the three universal characteristics of all compound things, that they are subject to change and impermanent, ultimately lead to suffering and are devoid of true essence. This right wisdom supports release from attachment, leading to right intention and control of the passions. This lead to doing good, personal peaceful happiness and actions, which are ultimately fruitful for oneself and one's family, society, and the whole world.
Thank you, Venerable Dr. Pratrajan Wisit. You have taught us a lot. Now I would like to ask you to lead us in a few moments of meditation.
We sit upright in a regular meditation posture, cross-legged, as seen in some Buddha images, with the right leg resting upon the left, and the right hand rests on the left, palm turned upwards, with the right index finger just touching the left thumb. The body is straight, and the mind is fully alert. Take a deep breath and relax the body until you feel comfortable. Close your eyelids lightly, do not press them. We use two aids, a mantra, Samma Arahang, and an object of visualization, a bright, clear, luminous sphere called the Aloka Kasinya, or light object. Using these aids, we draw the mind inward to the center of the body, and the mind components of vision, memory, thought, and awareness come together into oneness. Imagine a bright, clear, luminous sphere located at the center of the body, 2 inches or 5 centimeters above the navel. Raise your mind inside the sphere and repeat Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang continually and mindfully. Look for the pinpoint of bright light at the center of the center. Focus your mind there. Stop still. When the mind stops perfectly still and the center of the center expands itself and becomes a new sphere. Place your mind gently inside the new sphere. Look for the pinpoint of bright light at the center of the center. Place your mind there. Stop still. Eventually, a bright, clear sphere will arise. This is the Dhamma sphere. Do not be overjoyed. Keep your mind calm, in equanimity. Hold the mind still and stop repeating Samma Arahang. Just concentrate at the center of Dhamma sphere. This is your own nucleus, which gives rise to this body and this mind. You choose to experience the greatest happiness you have ever known. Not happiness based on an external object, but happiness arising from within, due to being fully pure from the 5 hindrances. Continue meditating as before by stopping still at the center of the Dhamma sphere. When the concentration is just right, sphere after sphere pops up by itself from the center, each one inside the previous one. The sphere is of sila or moral behavior, samadhi or concentration, panya or wisdom, vimutti or transcendence, and vimuttiyantasana or insight, appear one after the next. Enter each sphere successively and focus your mind still at the pinpoint of the bright light or hollow spot at the center. When the mind stops still, a new sphere emerges. When you reach the inside sphere, you continue in the same way, stopping still at the center. Again, the center expands itself, but this time, instead of a new sphere, you see your own refined human body, sitting cross-legged in meditation position, facing the same direction as you are facing. Don't be startled. Just keep observing. It looks very much like yourself. It has your own face, but it is brighter, purer, and more radiant. It may even be crystal clear. Take your time to make the body and its pedestal bright and clear. When you feel comfortable with the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the refined human body. Expand to fill the whole body. Feel the body from the inside. Feel the arms. Feel the legs. Feel the head. Feel the toes. Say to yourself, I am the refined human body. I have become the refined human body. I have the refined human mentality. When you feel comfortable inside the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the sphere at the center of the refined human body. Focus on the pinpoint of bright light at the center of the center. the center is fan itself, and you see your celestial body. For those who reach this state of mind, go on with the same procedure as larger and larger, more and more radiant bodies appear, become each more refined body, one by one, until you reach Dhammakaya. Dhammakaya looks like a transparent Buddha statue, very radiant, very pure. The Buddha statue sitting cross-legged is about 9 meters in height and width, become Dhammakaya fully. When your mind is most peaceful, contemplate the physical body as it really is, impure, subject to change, impermanent, and ultimately non-self. Consider the hair on the head. Examine one hair. See how dirty and greasy the roots are. Continue with the hair on the body. Then examine the nails, the teeth, and the skin. Realize how foul, polluted, and repulsive each of these really is. When you are done, just sit still and purify yourself by stopping still at the center, of the purer and the purest spheres and states of mind that appear. You will find this state of mind the purest and best happiness that you have ever experienced. And now let us share all of the merit that we have made in this meditation and previously, together with all of our loving kindness, with all beings everywhere throughout the universe. We share with our parents, our grandparents, our family, our teachers, and our friends. We share with our king and our queen and the whole royal family. May Lord Buddha bless all of us to lead a peaceful, happy life, free from suffering, free from problems, and free from enmity. And may this meditation help to bring us closer to transcendence and nirvana. And now, we come slowly out of meditation and open the eyes.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pratrajan Wisit. We reverently appreciate your excellent meditation instruction.
May Lord Buddha bless all of you. We would like to invite you all to join us for meditation at Wat Longphosot any Sunday. Our bus leaves from Watsakit, the Golden Mount Temple, at 7 o'clock every Sunday morning. I lead morning chanting and meditation for all, beginning at 9:30. And Prabhupada conducts an afternoon meditation session in English from 12 to 2 p.m. Please come join us. For details, please see our English website at www.meditationpark.org or en.dhammakaya.org or our Thai website at dhammakaya.org.
Sunday Dhamma Talk.